Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, you know what happens on Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Yeah, the music means Schomburg Stuth here. Stu, what's going on?
Not a heck of a lot. Hey, that song never gets old for me, so it's time to delve into some exciting sports activity.
Yes, it is. And if you'd like to join us and call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So swing on by there, catch up on what you need, look for something new popping up tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can forward any of your messages along to Stu. So, all right, we started trading some emails about this, and it was announced today by Major League Baseball that they have pushed back the start of spring training, and now the earliest it can start is March 5th. So, obviously, there's still something going on with the talks. Now, on the positive side, the owners group and the players union are scheduled to meet every day next week. So maybe we'll finally get something out of this catastrophe, because the players walked out of the Thursday meeting after just 15 minutes, and I'm getting tired of listening to that.
Well,
so are they going
to
get this done?
Yeah, it's good to hear that they're talking every day next week, though. That's an encouraging sign.
Yeah, it's just it's just stupid, and I'm really tired of it. As of now, the regular season has not been postponed, but if they can't get something done here in a set timeline, we're going to be looking at that as well, and that's when I go away and I'm done with baseball for the year. I won't deal with them. They can all go to you-know-where. So we shall see how this works out.
I did want to ask you, you said the earliest they would start the spring training now is March the 5th. And the season, the official season starts, what, the March 31st, the last day of the month?
Yes.
Is that enough time for the players to be ready for the start of the regular season, if indeed it starts on March 5th?
Well, you know, again, I would like to think that these guys are staying in shape and getting ready to play. Unfortunately, we saw with the COVID-19 year a couple years ago that's not the case. So I honestly don't think at the start a lot of these guys will be ready to go, and it'll probably take them a good month into the season just to finally get their feet, you know, under them and get going. But
what about injuries? What about injuries? Does that mean there's going to be nicks and tweaks and hamstring pulls and assorted other injuries at the start of the season
there's so many injuries now that they're just going to happen, whether it's, you know, well, we're shedding this guy down as a precaution, or if he's actually hurt. It's just, again, it's the wussification of professional sports, you know, where guys actually need days off that they never needed before. So, you know, even though the schedule is with them for those specific reasons.
If they do start March the 5th, I think 3.5 weeks should be enough for most players to be ready to start on the 31st.
You would think, but, you know, it never seems to be. I mean, even regular spring training no longer seems like enough for these guys. You know, and you got to remember, you're dealing with prima donnas. You know, these guys are at the top of their sport. They know it, and they act like it. You can tell just from these meetings that they're all prima donnas, and they want everything that they think they deserve, even though, you know, come on, we just had Juan Soto turn down $350 million. How much more does he need to live?
I guess that's just petty cash for him, right? That it's not quite enough to maintain a high standard of living.
So, yeah, no, apparently he's looking for a deal that's over $400 total. So.
Yeah, how much is enough? And
right.
By the way, we were emailing, and I said I was a little bit more optimistic because they have talks every day this week. But let's look at the bleak side and say that they talk every day, but nothing moves. There's no movement next week at all. For sure, the start of the regular season then would be in serious jeopardy.
Yeah, you have to think if they can't get this done next week, we're looking at a delay. There's no doubt about it, right?
For sure, absolutely. And I don't think the fans are going to be too happy about that because with what's been going on, you know, you're talking about some unpleasant things going on in the Ukraine, for example, plus COVID and the variants of COVID and everything else, and the economy, the fans are not going to be happy if there's going to be a delay to the season.
No, and they shouldn't be. They have every right to be upset with these yahoos. And again, like I've said many times on here, the majority of the blame this time around goes to the players. Now, I know, you know, nobody's going to admit that except for me. You know, everybody else wants to put the blame on the owners. I've seen it all over the place in the media. This is all on the players. It wasn't the owners who walked out after 15 minutes of meeting on Thursday. It was the players' union. So the owners were there at the table wanting to negotiate. No matter how far apart you are, you're not going to get anywhere in 15 minutes. But the players left.
Yeah, and I do have to agree with you, by the way. I think that it's the onus is on the players now to sit down and move forward and come to some kind of compromise next week so that there will be baseball this season.
Yeah. You know, and again, I don't know what all the issues are. I haven't looked into them because, let's face it, the main one is money, and everybody wants more of it. So, you know, that's the bottom line.
Name of the game, I guess. And they make so much money now, the average player, that it's hard to believe that they can't come up with some kind of equitable solution for both sides.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that they can't sit down and, you know, say, hey, okay, we'll give you, you know, 51% of this and we'll take 51% of that. Or however they work it out, it's incredibly stupid. And just the greed amongst these group of guys who should never need money again in their lives. And again, this is the players and the owners. You know, the cliche is it's millionaires fighting with billionaires.
Right, exactly.
And
exactly.
You know, they're the ones who suffer because ticket prices go up. We don't get the game. We don't get to see the game we love. And you know, it's all, you know, it all goes to the fan.
And if there's a serious delay to the start of the season or it's indefinitely postponed, I wouldn't blame the fans if they just walked away and say, I'm done with this now.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't either. You know, and to be fair, Major League Baseball did announce that anybody who has tickets to those spring training games can get a full refund. Obviously, the games aren't going to be played, so there's no, you know, no issue there. You just got to contact your local team or however you got the tickets, and they said they would gladly refund your money. So you don't have to worry about anything like that. Just go get your money back, and hopefully you can find another game to go to somewhere either in spring training or during the regular season.
Well, there's a long delay to the regular season. You think the Chicago Cubs fans, for example, will be happy to watch the Des Moines team play on a marquee instead of the Chicago Cubs? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you know, the hardcore fans are always going to watch. You just got to remember, Cub fans, there aren't as many hardcore Cub fans as people think they are, because a lot of the attraction there is the ballpark, and people want to be able to say that they went to Wrigley Field and then hung out in Wrigleyville after a game. So they're not quite at the, at that asking point. It'll be the other odd teams, like, are the Tampa Bay Rays fans going to be willing to watch their AAA affiliate on their network? A team like the Cleveland Guardians, who can't draw flies, are their fans going to actually tune into their AAA team? And yes, it is the Guardians this year. They're no longer the Indians.
That's correct.
So,
and Tampa doesn't draw, and when they have good teams, they don't draw. So I have a feeling they're not going to do very well with their minor league affiliate games being shown instead.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing with all these teams is, do they have enough what has to be legitimate hardcore fans to tune in and sit through a minor league game? I mean, I got to be honest with you. I watched 2 innings of the Andre Dawson Classic today on MLB Network just because I wanted to see baseball. And I had no idea who anybody was.
Yeah. And of course, as you probably know, Marquee always repeats, seems to be showing a lot of Cub Classic games, but it's kind of hard to watch a baseball game when you know the outcome of it, though.
Yeah, like MLB Network has been showing, older games as well, because they need something, obviously, to put on the air. Like, I can watch a little of it, or if I catch it at the right time and I know something exciting is going to happen, I can watch that. But I can't sit down and watch an entire game that I've already seen. So
I'm not sure if Marquee has changed it. I don't know if you noticed this, but when they showed some classic games last year, they would have something like, here's a classic game from 15 years ago that is won by the Cubs in the last of the ninth on a walk-off home run. So what are the fans going to do? They're not going to watch too much of the game, but hey, maybe they'll tune into the ninth inning.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to get them to come back. Let them know what's going to happen and see if they'll come back to watch it.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's
be a little optimistic and see what happens. What do you think? Maybe Monday or the first 2 days might be critical, two, three days of the week. If there's no movement by Wednesday, that's it, I think. There's going to be a delay to the season, the regular season, if by Wednesday some significant movement towards a compromise solution.
Yeah, if the players' union pulls this crap where they get up and walk out, and they've done this multiple times during these meetings where they've walked out. I think one was 5 minutes. And then Thursday was 15 minutes. So if they pull this crap again on Monday or Tuesday, the regular season isn't starting on time. I'm sorry to tell everybody that. It'll be pushed back, and who knows how long it'll take to get this going after that. Because you got to feel at this point the negotiators for the owner side is pretty frustrated with these guys and walking out. I mean, you prepare for a meeting, and they leave.
And it does get kind of annoying when you hear the player reps say that we're doing this. We really feel bad for the fans. We want to play ball for them, but the owners won't cooperate. They could care less about the fans.
Propaganda. Yeah, nothing but propaganda on that right there. So,
Yeah, we know who they're looking out for, and it's all the insatiable greed this time of the players, who can't seem to make any meaningful move to, or at least make some kind of a reasonable compromise. You think that would be easier to do?
Yeah, all they want is more money. That's all they're looking for. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about the minor leaguers like they try to sell you on. They don't care about any of that stuff. All they're looking for is more money. Bottom line.
And the sad thing is, if there's a lengthy delay to the season and they finally reach a compromise, you ask yourself the question, why didn't they do this 2 months ago?
Right. So, you know, and that'll even be the question now. Once they settle this, you know, it's just going to be, why did this take so long? You know, why couldn't we have done this before, you know, before the contract, you know, before the CBA even expired? Why didn't we sit down and start working on a new one?
Yeah, and the mind boggles sometimes, and you would wonder why they don't do that, and they know there's an agreement coming to a contract coming to an end. Sit down a year or so before and start to negotiate and see if they can get this thing worked out before it becomes this serious as it is right now.
Yeah, you know, before we lose spring training or before we're even close to having the regular season postponed, you know, it should have never came to this.
No.
I mean, they didn't even start negotiating as soon as the CBA expired. They waited to have a meeting. You know, and then when the players showed up, they didn't have a new proposal. They had their old proposal.
Yeah.
They didn't change a line of it.
Yeah, and you wonder how they could come up with something like that, and they know that's not going to work. And they're just incredible what they haven't done yet so far. Well, let's hope that next week will be the end of it, at least by Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to wait and see how it goes. But all right, it's your favorite weekend in the NBA there, Stu. It is All-Star Weekend. Tonight, as soon as we get off the air here, 6 o'clock on ESPN, you can hustle to the TV and watch the Celebrity All-Star Game. Then at 8 o'clock, we get the Rising Stars Challenge. Tomorrow night, of course, is NBA Saturday Night, which features, what is it? It's the Skills Challenge, the three-point shooting, and the dunk contest. They actually have the G League game as well on Sunday with the regular. It's Sunday at 1 o'clock, and then the All-Star game itself is Sunday at 7 o'clock. Everything except the Celebrity game is on TNT. The G League game is on NBA TV. So if you want to hunt those down, you'll be able to find them locally. As anybody knows who listens to the podcast, you and I hate the NBA All-Star game, legitimately hate the NBA All-Star game. Are you going to watch any of these other festivities? Because I know I generally end up watching a little bit of the NBA Saturday night stuff, depending on what they're on. Do you tune in?
I usually don't. I might this time and see what's going on, but I don't enjoy these exercises that they play and pull. And I like to watch when Michael Jordan was in that dunk contest a number of years ago, and he won, but he shouldn't have, so that kind of soured me on the whole situation. And maybe I'll watch some of the young stars compete since we've got a couple of good ones representing the Bulls.
Yeah, well, even with, you know, Zach LaVine in the three-point shooting contest, you're not going to look that up?
Yeah, I'm wondering, is he going to play? Is he going to do it? Is he going to be healthy enough to compete in the three-point contest?
You know, and then, of course, him and, you know, DeMar DeRozan are both in the All-Star game, again, if LaVine plays. So.
Yeah, of course, as we mentioned before, they'll be on opposite teams when they do play in the All-Star game.
Yeah. So, and yeah, tonight it's, what is it, Io DeSumo is on Gary Payton's team. But, yeah, he's the only Bull playing tonight.
That's right.
So.
Well, he's a very deserving choice, though. A very, very
Yes.
Good choice and well deserved. And he is he's done Chicago proud this season for sure.
Yeah, and LaVine is the only one who was going to be in the three-point contest. I'm guessing he's going to compete in that because there hasn't been a replacement announced. And you would have think by now they would have announced a replacement.
Well, you only hope that he doesn't aggravate anything when he does compete in the three-point contest.
Yeah, you know, you would like to think just shooting he would be okay. I would be a little more worried about playing actually in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well,
even though there's no defense, they're still running up and down the court.
But every year I say this,
is this going to be the magic year for me? That I'm finally going to be right about the score of the game?
It might be. I did the ESPN All-Star Challenge, and when they asked me for the final score of the All-Star game combined, I put 400. So I'm going with your prediction that teams are going to hit 200.
Yeah, my prediction, of course, is I want to see the 1 year when they both go over 200.
Yeah, well, hey, this may be your year. So.
Right. And without overtime, of course. I'm not even suggesting the game.
Would they even play in overtime, or would they just call it a tie?
Hey, maybe they call it, as we say in the parlance, a Broadway. Hey, maybe your score would be right on. How about a 200 final score of the game?
Yeah.
And maybe you would win.
Well, you know,
it's an end.
And I would be happy with, you know, that would be fine for me. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, while we're on this, who's the best team in the Eastern Conference? You know, there are five teams within 2.5 games of first place. The Bulls and the Heat are tied for first. And then the 76ers, the Cavaliers, and the Bucks are all 2.5 games behind. So who's the best team?
It's a real toss-up. I'm starting to lean towards Miami now.
You know, and that's not even counting the Brooklyn Nets, who are 31-28 and 7 games back right now. And everybody seems to think once they get Kevin Durant back, they're going to go roaring up the standings. So, they're in 8th. I think I said 7th.
Well, I hate to say this, but I was looking at the playoff pairings right now, and it would not surprise me at all, and I don't want to see it happen, but it would not surprise me at all that if the Bulls did not even get out of the first round of the playoffs.
Well, you know, if the Nets stay down there, that's going to be an interesting first round because it's possible the 1 or the 2 seed would have to face the Nets in the first round. You know, and if they're healthy, and then, you know, you don't know what the mandates would be. Maybe Kyrie could actually play in all the games, even though I doubt he still would because he's just a goof. You know, they could probably easily win a series, but, you know, you have to wonder. I don't think Ben Simmons is going to give them as much as everybody else thinks he's going to give them, but everybody else is excited about it.
Yeah, I'm not all that excited about that. How long is it going to take before he's in complete 100% basketball shape to play the game back and forth and put in 25, 30 minutes?
Yeah, and my guess is with him and his overall laziness as a player, the answer to that is never. So.
Well, you were mentioning that,
you know,
that
I know
possibility, by the way. Go ahead.
You know. They'll blame it on his mental health issues. He's not taking any shots at that. You know, if he's got a serious problem, I hope he got the help he needed while he was off. You know, I don't really know what his problems were. I didn't look into it. But he's, you know, I mean, they got a guy who can't shoot threes in a day and age where all we do is shoot threes. And to make it worse, he's a guard that can't make free throws. And he's going to have the ball in his hand.
I don't think they got the best of the deal myself. But
you know, we'll see how it goes. But I don't think, you know, I don't think they're a championship team, and they could just as easily get beat by a Philadelphia or a Milwaukee team in a playoff series. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think right now Philadelphia is probably the best team with the way Joel Embiid is playing. You know, he's probably the MVP, and they're going to get James Harden back after the All-Star break.
Yeah, they're going to be difficult to beat, that's for sure. Yeah, I was looking,
you know,
by the way, at the playoff implications, and I was thinking the Bulls might wind up playing in the first round either Boston or Toronto.
It
would be very difficult for them to get past.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously it's going to depend on if you get an upset in that play-in game. You know, maybe they get an Atlanta or a Charlotte, which I think is a better matchup for them. They've had some problems with
about
Toronto.
It.
You know, they've had some issues with Toronto. I think Toronto's beaten them a couple times. So
yeah,
I don't know if they'd want to take a ball, but...
Yeah, Toronto scares me, and in Boston, too.
Yeah, I would probably take Toronto or Boston over a healthy Brooklyn team, though, because you got to figure Durant is going to have something to prove in the first round. So,
at least it's nice to talk about the Bulls being in a playoff series.
Yeah, which they definitely shouldn't have a problem. But maybe you can answer me this one. You know, after last year, and I know everybody was high on them, what happened to the Knicks? You know, they're 25-34. They're about four games out of that play-in set. And now after Tom Thibodeau was the greatest coach in the NBA last year, now the media is calling for his head. Is it true? Did he burn these guys out? Or, was last year just a fluke?
Well, he does have that reputation. And... I don't know if it's completely his fault or not. I always thought he was a very good coach, but maybe as you suggest, that last year was an aberration, and the team is burned out, because I would be very surprised, even though they're only a few games out of a possible, at least a play-in game, I don't think they're going to be in it this year at all.
Yeah, no, they've got a long way to go, you know, if they're going to get there. But, you know, it is possible. And to be fair, they have played the majority of this season without Derrick Rose, who was a really big contributor for them last year. And I guess he is fairly close to returning, but they don't have an actual return date yet.
Yeah, he's missed quite a bit of games this season.
So, but yeah, you look at their roster and it's very Tom Thibodeau-like. The young guys aren't playing, you know, they're not putting up any minutes, and he's relying heavily on, you know, five or six guys that he's expecting to carry the load. And it's difficult to win in the NBA like that, especially during the regular season, because it's a grind.
It is. And does he rest a regular on occasion, as most other coaches do, and back-to-backs, or does he just have them gut it up and play anyway?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen enough of the Knicks to know if he does. But, you know, looking at their roster here, I believe they've played, let me get their game total. Oh, and of course it's not on here. But, okay, well, you know, like Julius Randle's played in 57 games. So Evan Fournier, and then Alex Burke has played in 58. So I'm assuming they've played 58 games. And those are three of his top four-minute guys. So I assume they're playing even in back-to-backs.
Yeah. And this is going to come back to haunt them at the end of the year, assuming they even have a possibility of getting into any kind of a play-in type game. And I don't think they are.
No. Yeah, they've played 59 games. So Randall is 2 days off. So is Fournier, and Burks has had one.
Well, I'm sure the Knicks fans are not too happy with Mr. Thibodeau at the moment.
No, you know, the Knicks, the fans, the media, everybody's calling for his head. So, You know, and they just blew, you know, their last game against Brooklyn, they blew like a 28-point lead and ended up losing by five.
Yeah, that does happen from time to time in the NBA. And you wonder how it could possibly occur, though, that teams could blow that big of a lead.
Yeah, and then, you know, even coming out of the gate at the All-Star break, they have Miami. That's their first game. Then they have Philly for two, one at home, one in Philly. And then they've got Phoenix, who's probably the best team in the NBA, you know, because they go out west after that. They have Phoenix, L.A., Sacramento, Dallas, Memphis, and then Brooklyn. So they've got a hell of a stretch coming out of the All-Star break. They could be dead and buried by the time that's over.
Yeah, based upon their upcoming schedule, I would think that they are going to be dead and buried.
You know, yeah, unless they can put it together and figure out how to win some of those games, because, you know, there aren't, you know, I mean, okay, I could see them beating Sacramento, but it is on the road. Same with Dallas, but other than that, a lot of those other games aren't really, they don't look like they're that winnable unless New York plays above their head, which they haven't done.
Yeah, I couldn't quite remember how many games you mentioned. Maybe call it a dozen games, and it's hard-pressed to see them winning more than four of those games at best if they play 12 on the road. 3-7,
you know, I mean,
if it's a 10 games swing.
Yeah, just about. So.
Yeah, can you see them winning more than three? I can't.
No, I would think two at the best, unless they get rolling.
I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, maybe pulling off one upset against one of the better teams.
You know, they've got to be disappointed that they're going out west and they don't get to play the terrible Lakers team that, you know, the media just can't stop talking about, even though they're a complete non-factor. But they're the Lakers and they have LeBron James, so they continue to talk about him even when they're completely meaningless to this NBA season, and for whatever reason, they overshadow teams like Phoenix, you know, and Memphis, who are having great years.
Do you think overall the pendulum has changed in the NBA? And even though we have great teams like Phoenix and the Warriors, that the East overall is stronger now than the West?
Yeah, I think if you were to match it up overall, you know, like it's kind of clear that I think Phoenix and Golden State are probably the two best teams in the NBA. But, you know, when you look at, you know, even if you just take those other six playoff teams, you know, or even if you go to eight, if you want to go 10 teams with the play-in, I think if you matched them up, the East would win.
Yeah, it would be they would give them a strong opposition, that's for sure. Of course, we're talking about the Phoenix and Golden State being in the class by themselves, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, definitely. And, you know, to be fair, I mean, I think the worst teams may also be in the East with, you know, like Orlando and Detroit. Houston's not far off from that, but I think they're a little better. But, you know, they still have that claim to fame. But, yeah, when, you know, you start looking at it and, you know, I mean, Memphis is a nice surprise in the West, but so is Cleveland in the East. You can't discount them. And, you know, the 76ers, I think they'll give anybody a run for their money right now, even though they don't have the best record. You know, even a Phoenix or a Golden State, I don't think any team is equipped to stop Joel Embiid with the way he's playing right now. He's just got to stay healthy, and that's always been his big problem.
That's a problem with some players. They just cannot seem to stay healthy, as we talked about. Derrick Rose is one of them. You mentioned, of course, surprise teams being Cleveland and Memphis. Would you consider the Bulls a big surprise team this year? We all knew they were going to be better.
No, but everybody expected them to be better. It's a surprise where they are. But it's not a surprise that they're a playoff team. You know, and of course the question then becomes is now can they hold this? You know, because they
exactly.
Still have, you know, what, 20 some odd games to stay up there. So we'll have to see, you know, if they can stay in the upper part of the Eastern Conference, because, you know, one losing streak and you're looking at being in sixth or seventh place.
Yeah, yeah, that's how tough it is, exactly. They do seem to have a tough time against the top echelon teams, though.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, that's a lot of teams have those problems, but, and like everybody else, they have to get healthy. You know, they need Lonzo Ball back. They need Alex Caruso back. They need Zach LaVine to get back to 100%. But, you know, they're not the only team that dealt with it. Like I mentioned, the Lakers, who just lost Anthony Davis again, you know, he's out for 4 weeks, and then he's only going to be reevaluated. So we'll see. But, you know, even, you know, the Bulls coming out of the All-Star break, they have a tough little stretch, too. They're going to get Atlanta.
That's true.
Then they get Memphis. They go to Miami. They go to Atlanta. Then they got Milwaukee at home before they go to Philadelphia. So they got six pretty tough games. You know, you'd like to think they would beat Atlanta, but, you know, you never know. Atlanta's an up-and-down team. But those other games are going to be tough.
It'll be interesting how the game is played when they have their rematch at home against Milwaukee.
You know, and eventually DeMar DeRozan is going to have a bad night. You know, I mean, he's on he just broke Wilt Chamberlain's record. So that's the kind of streak he's on.
Yeah, that's something that hasn't happened in, what, 60 years?
Yeah, since Wilt did it back in, I don't even know when. Let's see if there's a date on this. So, yeah, it doesn't look like they have a date on Wilt's scoring thing here.
Yeah,
but
I thought
yeah,
it was around 60 years ago, though.
Yeah.
It's a long time. But
yeah,
anytime
you're mentioned with Wilt Chamberlain, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah,
so.
But as you pointed out, it's not going to last forever. I mean, you can't keep going like this. But he's having a phenomenal season.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely in the MVP. You know, and I still find it humorous there were so many people who thought that was a terrible signing by the Bulls.
Yeah, I wonder. What are they saying now? Are they fessing up to their mistake?
No, of course not. You know, they never, you know, that's the one thing the media never does is admit when they did something wrong. So, you know, it's just, oh, no, we know what are you talking about? We never said that. No, okay.
But it's been a fun campaign so far. And, as you pointed out, they do have some tough games coming up. The reason I was talking about the Milwaukee rematch, by the way, is that in the last game there was that cheap shot foul that put Caruso out of action for, a month and a half?
Yes, good old Grayson Allen. So,
who has a history of doing things like that.
Yeah, that one wasn't egregious as some of his other ones. But, you know, unfortunately Caruso, you know, when he fell, the fall is really what got him. It wasn't so much the foul as it was just the fall.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of a reaction that he'll have when he comes into the lineup for Milwaukee.
Yeah, you know it. I'm sure he'll get booed like you know he always does, just about everywhere. So, you know, it's just kind of how it goes with him.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He's a pretty good basketball player, actually, though.
Yeah, you know, and the sad part is, you know, so many years ago, him doing stuff like that wouldn't even have been a big deal because just about every team had a thug like that.
Those days are gone, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there's absolutely no way we will ever see that again with what the NBA wants. They want offense, offense, offense. That's all they want.
Yeah. I have not seen any updates on the proposed Bulls signing of that player from Indiana. Thompson, was it? Is it official yet?
I haven't seen, but the way it's being reported, I'm sure it is. And I am wondering, does the NBA have a moratorium on announcing these things over All-Star Weekend? I don't know what their rules are on stuff like that.
It's possible. You might be right about that. I know that Donovan is keeping a close mouth about it. If that does take place, that deal, as everybody says it will, the Bulls are going to have to drop one of their players. And who would it be? Matt Thomas? Or I'm not sure who would have to go.
Yeah, you know, they'll probably send a guy back to the league. So, you know, that's pretty much all they do. Yeah, nothing official. Tristan Thompson's been officially waived by the Pacers. And all it says is he intends to sign with the Bulls. So,
the thing I don't understand about these deals is this. I know he's been officially waived by Indiana. Can't another team who is lower in the standings than the Bulls pick him up first?
No, it's not like baseball. When you're waived in basketball, you're a free.
That's it.
So, yeah. Yeah, you immediately get to become a free agent. And then that's why all these guys choose their landing spots.
Right.
After they get, you know, or they get waived. So,
I did want to ask you one question before. We were talking about, you were talking about the G League game, the All-Star game was going to be televised.
Yeah,
would you consider,
on NBA TV.
Yeah. Would you consider the G League to be what, AAA, if you compare it to baseball, or is it a higher level, slightly higher level than that?
No, I think AAA would be a good comparison, you know, especially now with the rule where players don't have to go to college and they can play a year in the G League to qualify for the draft. Because then you can get some, you know, big-time talent into that league, young talent. So that really pumped it up and helped it out. Otherwise, before that, you know, you would almost have to consider it lower, you know, double A or maybe somewhere in between double A and A ball, because none of those guys were coming out and breaking out into the NBA.
Yeah,
but
no,
with
no.
This school, you know, now there will be guys. I think Jalen Green is one of the guys we'll see tonight in the Rising Stars game. He played a year in the G League and then was the second pick in the draft. So, you know, you can see guys like that, and, you know, it definitely should help the league itself.
They don't seem to do too well in terms of actual spectator attendance, though, at those games, do they?
No, but a lot of it, I think, has to do with the time frame. Have you ever seen what time some of those games start? I mean, they literally start at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
During the week. So, you know, I mean, you know, like, well, obviously you could go being retired, and I could go working overnight, but anybody with a 9 to 5, you know, are you leaving early to go to a G League game?
I guess not. And, well, I'm hoping that the seats are at least popularly priced and not too far out of the reach of the average fan to attend if he wants to see a decent basketball game.
Yeah, you know, I've never really looked into what they charge for G League tickets, but yeah, you would like to think they're lower, right? I mean,
well, they have to be.
You can't check a regular, you know, a regular NBA price for what they, you know, what they're doing. Let's see if I can find somebody. See if I can find our local G League team. What are they called? Are they? Oh, yeah, they are the Bulls. Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yes.
See what they are charging for tickets here. What do we have?
Sounds like your internet is working pretty well tonight so far.
Actually, I just jinxed it because it didn't come up when I wanted to pull up ticket prices for these games. So, yeah, I don't know. try again here, see if I have better luck this time. But yeah, no, unless the page itself is down, maybe it's pretty popular and you can't get on it. So here, we'll go to this one. The Wisconsin Herd is the G League team, apparently, I'm guessing, of the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's see what the Herd has for tickets, if it will come up for me, and see how much we're spending to see the Herd. The Herd does play in Oshkosh, so it's not too far.
No, not at all.
No. $9.
Oh, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Not bad at all. I would pay $9 to see a G League game.
Yeah, especially now when the talent is so much better than it has been in previous years.
So yeah, you know, definitely, you know, that's just the Wisconsin prices. I mean, I don't know what, you know, what it would be locally here, because they play, don't they play out by you at the Sears Center or what?
Yeah, I think they do now? Play in that area. Yeah, definitely. Not too far.
I know it's not the Sears Center anymore, right? It's called something else.
Yeah, that's another name for it. Name escapes me at the moment, but it's no longer the Sears Center.
Yeah, I always remember it when, you know, AEW goes there and they call it, they call it the new name. I just don't remember what it is. So eventually it will pop into my head and I will be like, oh, yeah, okay, that's what it, you know.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember the name now and I cannot remember.
Oh, is it Wintrust?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's right.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
I can never remember what's what anymore with the way they do these things with sponsorship and all this other fun stuff. So, but yeah. So, but speaking of, you know, I threw AEW out there. I saw that their rating was down Wednesday night. They were under 1 million fans again, and a lot of people jumped on right away and decided to say it was because Cody Rhodes left the promotion. With the way the fans were kind of treating him anyways, do you really think he had that big of an impact on their television rating?
No, I was surprised that it went down that much, but I don't think him leaving the company had much to do with it, but that was a big jump, though. They were way under, well, at least a couple hundred thousand under the previous week.
Yeah, they went from like 1.1 million to 870,000 or something. So, and I guess maybe there was just nothing on last Wednesday.
Maybe so. Now, isn't the Rampage show tonight competing head to head with SmackDown?
Oh, did they move it with the NBA All-Star stuff?
Yeah,
I didn't bother to look.
Yeah, I thought maybe they moved it to 7 o'clock tonight, but I'm not 100% sure. I saw something about that. That would be interesting.
I mean, I know both shows have been taped. You know, both shows have been taped, so you can always, you know, you can already get the results if you want to check it out. They're out there.
Yeah,
so,
I asked you why they taped it. I guess it's because of the lengthy travel that it takes to get to Saudi Arabia for the tomorrow's pay-per-view, which, by the way, I found out this is not going to be an evening show. I think it starts at 11 o'clock our time.
Yeah, over there it always starts earlier. So,
well, of course, since I get Peacock, I can watch that exciting 3 or 4 hours of top Flight Entertainment.
From what I've got here on the on this website, Rampage is on at its usual time, 9 p.m.
Oh, okay. I thought it was on earlier. My mistake. It's hard to watch a show when you know the results, so.
Yeah, that makes it difficult when they're taped. And, I know they have a they have some solid matches, you know, nothing spectacular. It's, you know, Adam Cole's wrestling one of the Dark Order guys. Powerhouse Hobbs was wrestling that Dante Martin, who I know they really like. Jay White, the New Japan wrestler, makes his in-ring debut against Trent Beretta. And then that Serena Deeb is doing her five-minute rookie thing, which I get a kick out of, so I'll watch that. But,
no, yeah, I haven't seen too much. I know when Adam Cole wrestled in NXT, I didn't realize he's not a very big wrestler, is he, in terms of weight?
No, well, to be fair, nobody is nowadays. You know, I mean, there's a couple, but not very many.
I'm always surprised
you
when they announce
just
Roman Reigns' weight, because he doesn't look like he weighs all that much, but I guess...
Yeah, well, sadly, in WWE, their weights are fake. It's what Vince tells you you weigh. AEW actually announces the guy's weight. So,
yeah, because
you
have to do
remember
that all
when,
the time.
Yeah, well, remember when Bryan Danielson was in WWE, he was 200-and-something pounds, you know, like 220 or 225 or whatever they announced him as. Wednesday night when he came out, they announced him as 197, but he doesn't look like he's lost that amount of weight. So
that's probably more legitimate weight.
You know, and it's just Vince's belief that the wrestlers have to be larger than life, so he makes them bigger. You know, remember, The Undertaker was supposed to be 7 feet tall, and in reality, he's maybe 6'7 or 6'8.
Well, the same thing with Paul White. I don't think Paul White is even 7 feet.
No, but, you know, you bill him as that to make people think he's, you know, they're these huge, you know, it's just the way the business goes.
Right. And
yeah, it's like the NBA where everybody gets taller, and then the college
right.
kids go to the combines and they measure them and they work closer to their listed height.
Did you notice that they're going to have a stipulation for the pay-per-view match between MJF and Punk? It's going to be a dog collar match?
Yeah, I recorded Dynamite, so I got to fast-forward through Punk's interview while he was sitting in the ring, mentioning Roddy Piper's name a couple times.
Yeah, they always talk about that famous match that Piper had, I think it was in the South, in the early 80s against Greg Valentine. And I guess they wrestled quite a few dog collar matches, and this one somehow got out of hand, and he lost some hearing in one of his ears.
Yeah. So, yeah, the announcers brought that up. Tony Schiavone brought that up because I think Schiavone may have been working either there or close to that area at the time of that match. So, but, yeah, that was, you know, yeah, that's probably the most famous dog collar match in wrestling history. That's the one everybody seems to remember or talk about.
Yeah. So I guess we can look forward to some bleeding, heavy bleeding in that match when it takes place.
Yeah, that definitely should be, you know, both guys busted open, and we'll see how that goes. But, you know, obviously being the second match and having MJF win the first one, Punk is going to win this one. So we'll see if they set up a blow-off of some kind for a third match. But, I don't know. You know, where do you go after this?
MJF does cut a great promo. You think he's an adequate wrestler? He seems to have some kind of moves, at least.
Yeah, no, he's really good in the ring. He just hasn't really shown it. I've seen some of his indie matches where he's wrestled more. But, you know, like for whatever reason, he's kind of staying, even when he wrestles in AEW, he stays in that persona, which kind of makes sense because, you know, if the fans start to think you can really wrestle, they may start to cheer you. And obviously, you know, he doesn't want that. And he's really good about making sure they don't.
Yeah, he does a kind of very effective promo. And you think his weight is legit?
Yeah, I mean,
you think 220 looks about what he really weighs?
No, he's probably closer to Bryan Danielson's weight. They're probably pretty close to the same.
200.
He's probably the top heel in the business right now.
Yeah, he does cut a good promo. And they keep alluding to the fact that when his contract is up, he's going to go to WWE. But I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
You know, when these, you know, because you hear that, like, apparently, you know, Vince McMahon has fallen in love with Wardlow, who's MJF's bodyguard, or however you want to put it, because that's the kind of guy Vince likes, you know, the big muscular guys. But if those guys are just the look at WWE, like, it appears apparent that Cody Rhodes is going to go there. Do you really think they're going to push Cody and give him a world title, make him the top guy?
I don't see it happening.
Right. You know, and they've talked about bringing him in and giving him a big push. I really just don't believe it. You know, they're going to say that because that's what they need to say to get the attention, but he's going to fall right back into the mid-card area where he was there before because that's what WWE does with these guys. You know, I mean, they had Cody Rhodes on their roster and didn't know what to do with him.
No.
What's going to be different this time?
Maybe they would consider putting him a lesser title on him, United States title, one of those things.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Intercontinental title or the U.S. title, but with the way those titles jump around, they're meaningless. Who cares? Can you name either guy right now who's holding those titles?
No, isn't there a title switch tonight?
Tonight Sami Zayn wins the title tonight, so they can have him defend it against Johnny Knoxville at WrestleMania. How's that for classing up a title? You're gonna defend it against the guy who does Jackass.
They're actually gonna do that for a match. They're gonna have a non wrestler compete against him.
For a title at WrestleMania. That's going to be one of the matches.
I hope they're not going They're not going to pull a David Arquette finish in that match, are they?
Hey, you never know. No. But, yeah, I don't even know who's the United States champion.
No idea.
Yeah, I honestly don't even know. I'm racking my brain here. I should know this. I probably seen him, but I couldn't tell you who it is off the top of my head. I'm going to have to bing it here and see if it'll come up for me and find out. Damian Priest.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So
he's a pretty tall guy.
I forgot all about
Priest, isn't he? Didn't he come from NXT?
Yeah. Originally he was ECW. And then, he went through the NXT ranks when WWE signed him. He's the guy there, or the U.S. champion there.
Yeah, I don't even know the card tomorrow. I know a couple of the matches. I don't know if he's competing. I'm not really sure.
I couldn't even tell you. I didn't bother to look, you know, because I can't watch it. I care so little about the WWE product. It's just so bad that, you know, it's just not interesting. I was very interested in NXT until they remodeled it. I mean, they had a good thing going there, and Vince blew it up because he didn't like it. So.
And since he blew it up, hasn't the ratings gone way down?
Yes, but they blame that on Hunter. I saw an article with him.
For Hunter, it hasn't really been doing much since his heart attack anyway. You haven't heard him making any appearances or anything else.
No, apparently it was a lot more serious than it was thought.
Yes.
You know, or that the media has. So, you know, it's possible he may just be done. You know, we may not see him again until, maybe when he takes over for Vince.
I think financially he's pretty well secure, though.
Yeah, you'd like to think, you know. And, of course, obviously being married to the boss's daughter doesn't hurt either. So, but, yes, I look up here. You and I are running out of time. We got about 10 seconds left. So say goodbye to everybody and wish them a good weekend, and I'll get ready to end the podcast here.
All right. We'll see you next week.